The government has called out the National Reserves as civil unrest grips the nation this evening. 41 people have been arrested island-wide today in the worst case of civil unrest to rock Jamaica in many years.
Food and major commodities run low as Jamaicans remain locked inside. Several persons have been shot and injured or killed.
Shortly after 3, a single bullet pierced the chest of the 25-year-old expectant mother as she stood at the intersection of Grand Fenn and Shorted Roads. Her family was tugging at her lifeless body.
Hospitals, airlines, and vendors hurting from the wound of violent protests. A team from the IMF, which is currently in Jamaica, is wrapping up a 4-day visit for a technical assessment of the country's financial situation.
The issue is to make globalization work for the benefit of all. There will not be a good future for the rich if there is no prospect for a better future for the poor.
Stay tuned for the details on these and other stories after the break. Baskin Robbins, where the world goes for ice cream.
Rich man's wealth is in the city. Destruction of the poor is our poverty. Lord, destruction of our soul is vanity. Well, do you will not he dread wonder if you will. Whoa, I and I, we want to rule our destiny. Oh, yeah, I and I. Jah will make you rule our destiny.
So the system set it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For if them don't have you fighting against yourself, them go have trouble. Fight them, see you unite within yourself. Them know, so for them all get slacker. But when them can't get you struggling among yourself, for them all is tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how them set it.
Thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him, by that the sun goeth down.
Welcome to all visitors to our beautiful island. We do hope you'll enjoy your stay here.
These countries want to stay on top, so they'll find any way for them third world people life. But a small price to be paid.
If you come to Jamaica as a tourist, this is what you will see. If you come by airplane, you will certainly land in Montego Bay, and certainly not in Kingston.
Welcome to Jamaica, what soul is lost you? We're glad that you've joined us, we'll be waiting for you. Welcome to Jamaica, turn you all and wrong. Welcome to Jamaica, this feel is your home. We're proud of Jamaica.
You are thinking of the hard and cold and long days you spent working, earning money so that you could stay in this place, Jamaica, where the sun must always shine, where the climate is deliciously hot and dry, at least for the 4 to 10 days you will stay here. You are indifferent to the fact that you can enter this country simply by showing your driver's license. You are indifferent to this fact because you can travel anywhere. The thought that a citizen of Jamaica would have to give an exhaustive account of how and why they have lived to visit your native country must never cross your mind.
From Philadelphia, scheduled arrival at 10:43.
Since you're a tourist, you did not travel with stacks of cardboard boxes containing much-needed cheap clothes and food for relatives.
What do you have in your bags?
That has nothing to do with counting them, my dear.
You move through customs swiftly. You move through customs with ease. Your bags are not searched. On your way out of the airport, you stop to make an exchange of money.
I get $250. Thank you. 20, please. How are you? 20.
You are excited by the large sheaf of Jamaican dollars you get in exchange for your $20.
$1,850.
I feel rich right now.
How much does it cost for a shirt down here? An average. How much does it cost for a t-shirt down here?
You have not yet been to a shop to see how little your large sheaf of money can buy. It would not occur to you that the weakness of your newly traded money is a result of many devaluations imposed by the International Monetary Fund.
The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, is urging Jamaica to reverse the declining fiscal deficit as a catalyst for economic growth.
To understand the International Monetary Fund, it is best to go back to history. We come to 1944. The war is coming near to an end. The Allies were determined not to have the war finish and end up in the mess of the 1930s.
At Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, delegates from 44 Allied and associate countries arrived for the opening of the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference.
The key institution set up was the International Monetary Fund. And the purpose of the fund was to have a bank they could turn to for short-term borrowing to serve the short-term trading interests of the winners of the war.
United States Treasury Secretary Morgenthau heads the American delegation. To be discussed are plans for the stabilization of world currencies.
Same time, they set up the World Bank to provide capital for the rebuilding of Europe. You have to remember, what we now know as the Third World didn't exist. There were a few major powers, each of which had a large empire. We had no voice, we had no presence, we just were part of somebody else's power structure. You ask whose interest? Ask the question, who set it up?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, pleasant evening and welcome to my island home, Jamaica. Now, you'll realize that we drive on the left-hand side of the road. Might seem wrong, but the right side is suicide. All right, so sit back, relax, and do enjoy. Feel free to ask any questions. I am Carrie, and this is your driver, Finn Letter. Coming up on the left-hand side, we have Sandals Royal Jamaica. Right here, we have Butch Stewart, who is the sole owner.
You are driving on a road, and it is called the Queen's Highway. When it was built, we were ruled over by something called a queen. We do not have a queen anymore.
We have a very old McDonald's, Baskin Robbins, right on the left-hand side. Right-hand side, I beg your pardon. So, hey, we have it all in Ocheros. If you want to ever go for ice cream, so there you see, McDonald's.
When we wished for independence from Great Britain, we had something else in mind. We cannot now remember what that was. So, you could imagine how I felt when one day driving on the Queen's Highway, I asked myself, is the Jamaica that I see before me self-ruled, a worse off place than it was when dominated by the bad-minded English?
My government in the United Kingdom has laid down its responsibilities and has ceased to have any authority in and over Jamaica after more than 300 years.
Countries like Jamaica found that when they became free, they soon were in every kind of financial problem because they didn't have the economic strength to, shall we say, make it on their own. They needed time to build economies that could then make it in the world.
When you see what all the food from abroad costs, you realize that the food production to feed ourselves in Jamaica is not only a matter of opportunity for you, it's a matter of survival for the nation.
Comes 1973, there is a world convulsion caused by the oil price increases, all of a sudden we are having to find sums of money we had never dreamed of before just to make ends meet. Now, what can you do? First of all, you go to the private banking system and you see, well, can I get a private banking loan? Because I'm strapped for cash and need some support and I'm having trouble paying my overseas bills.
When the private banks won't lend to you, then you've got to do something if you're leader of a country. And typically what you've got to do is to cut back your spending in some way and try and get more money so that the impact of those cutbacks are not as severe as they otherwise would be. And it's at that point that you generally come to the IMF.
We are not for sale. And tell them any time they are willing to deal with an honorable Jamaica based on principles, sovereignty, pride, and dignity, then we will talk the investment of the money.
Bear in mind, this is a country literally beginning to unravel because it cannot finance what it needs. Because you can't have no penicillin in the hospital. You can't have no wheat to make bread.
And we would say, yep, that's true. We understand the crisis you're in. And we need to fix the underlying reasons for that crisis. And so here is what we think needs doing.
What you really need is to sit down with them and say, look, can I work out a five-year program? And in the meantime, I'm strapped for some cash, so can you help me up front get out of the cash bind and then put it in the context of a long-term development plan? And they said, no, long-term development is your problem. We are here only to see who do you owe the money to, why are you in a bind, and we'll lend you some money in a very short time frame at full interest rate to get you out of the bind. And they then impose upon you tremendous restrictions in what you can spend.
And then we reach agreement on a set of measures on the budget, on the exchange rate, on monetary policy, on interest rates, on banks, on maybe privatization, and say, yep, we think this could solve your problem.
And you say to them, but if I do it that way, when I finish repaying you, I'm going to be in the bind all over because this can't solve my problem. They say, not our problem.
Okay, this is the banana plantation. And you know the banana, they say just like a woman, takes 9 months for bearing.
You pass a building stranded in an acre of overgrown grass, and you think to yourself that its very existence must fall under the Department of Health. It is an outhouse, a public latrine. But when you look again, you see a sign that proclaims this building as a school. The sign says, Basic School. And what could that mean, a basic school?
Big word up here. Who can tell me what is this word?
But before you can occupy yourself with this question, your heart skips a beat, for your driver has decided to overtake the car in front of him. It would cause your heart to skip more than a beat if you knew there was not a hospital nearby. That no new hospitals have been built in Jamaica for many years now should not concern you. You're on your holiday.
The whole idea was to set conditions which the government could not meet. And when the government failed to meet them, you would have to renegotiate a new loan in which the conditions became tighter. So the IMF didn't say, cut out this education program or cut out this health program. What the IMF said is, you must spend only so much money on health and education. And the implication of that was that you had to cut out some programs.
Essentially, what the IMF wanted us to do was to devalue our currency. That's the first thing, to make our dollar cheaper.
They needed to expand their exports and diminish their imports. And the best way of doing that is to make foreign currency more expensive.
And since our society is so heavily dependent on imported food, imported fuel, imported books to go to school, imported medicine, when we devalue, the cost of those things we import go up to the citizens. And as a result, the economy today is much more under the control of foreigners, not necessarily through direct ownership, but through the mechanism of debt. In the 1970s, we owed $800 million. By the end of the 1980s, we owed $4 billion. Nowadays, we owe $7 billion. So the debt is rising, and all the time the debt is rising, our capacity to export to produce is getting less.
Revolution seems to be the only play. It may be an old-fashioned way of thinking.
Oh, but now you're tired of all this looking, and you want to reach your destination, your hotel, your room.
What we do is called the sunshine guarantee. Just in case the sun doesn't come out any at all for the entire day, you're entitled to a free day, or what we call a free night. And these are your room keys. The keys are cool.
Oh, what beauty. You've never seen anything like this. You are so excited. You see yourself lying on the beach enjoying that amazing sun. A sun that is your personal friend, ready to stamp out any cloud that dares to darken your day.
One love, one heart.
You see yourself eating some delicious locally grown food. You see yourself, you see yourself. You must not wonder exactly what happened to the contents of your lavatory when you flushed it. You must not wonder where your bath water went when you pulled out the stopper. For you see, Jamaica does not yet have a proper way of disposing of all its sewage. But the Caribbean Sea is very big, and the Atlantic Ocean is even bigger. It would amaze you to know the number of African slaves this ocean has swallowed up. When you sit down to eat your delicious meal, it's probably better you don't know that everything you're eating came off a ship from Miami. There is a world of something in this, but I can't get into it right now.
You guys on honeymoon, eh?
Yeah.
Really shows much, all right? They're beaming, all right? All right, guys. So when you go to the clubs or anywhere you go, you're going to drink with your keys on your arms, in your hair, on your legs, where we can see them. We'll go to the front desk, get your room number, take you home. You puke, no problem, man. Drink to your fill. You get totally intoxicated, it's no problem. You're on holidays.
Bounce. And from the bouncing, we're going to warm you up a little bit. First of all, our very first move we're going to be doing is moving the feet, just putting them forward, left and right, stepping forward. Here we go. Left and then right. Come on. Left and then right.
Backbone of our economy, so to speak. You find that the very farmers where farm them produce, yet right now you have tons of cabbage of waste in Jamaica because goods coming in from America selling cheaper
than what produce
than
here.
What can be produced here.
Of course it is.
So you find it's just extracting more than putting in.
The Jamaica that I knew, the Jamaica in which I grew up, is not the Jamaica that you, a tourist, would see now. That Jamaica no longer exists. That Jamaica no longer exists, partly for the usual reason, the passing of time, and partly because of this new global economy.
Well, when you say the onion producing this year, you can look at every house or every yard that you see around here. Everybody, all young, middle age, involved in picking out onion, sowing onion, reaping onion, bagging up onion. So everybody was involved in the production in this district. But right now, it is just a trickle, just a brave one them.
When it's ready for harvesting, you see imported potato.
right out in front of your home being sold. Potato that's grown in Idaho or New Brunswick or some other parts.
Hello? The shipment come every week, you know. Them can Irish, the US, them America, the one in Canada. And the red peas, they sell that America.
When I was a little boy, I grew. Everybody that you see around here, their livelihood was planting peanuts. All those days are over. Over and gone.
All this land is what we used to farm carrots. Now we cannot farm anymore. We don't got any market for it. Because through the foreign carrots.
It's an insult to our dignity of not being able to produce and sell in your own market at home.
This is a free market, and I've learned that because of the financial problem that the government is under with the World Bank and the IMF. They are the ones who institute the pressure on the government, as far as we learn. Now, we had a thing named protective market. The government said no import. And then now we compete with one another. But for the time being, you're open to the world to compete with the world.
Before, we was unable to bring in anything because of the policy of the country. But lately, it changed. The difference with the person who comes in from foreign with his trailer is that he has now been given legal right to bring it in. So I'm not fighting him. I'm fighting the policy maker, the person who is foolish enough to sign such a policy.
Some of the prescriptions an IMF program usually seeks to implement is to get countries to eliminate artificial barriers to trade. They will require a country with an IMF program not to impose artificial restrictions on imports and not to unduly subsidize exports.
So when the person brings on his trailer, whether he's in Kingston or up here, whether a farmer gets smart and gets on the trailer line, he will fill his pocket of money. But what will happen to the other thousands of farmers? So you're fattening a few people at the expense of a whole culture that took years to build up. You destroy it with a stroke of the pen.
He holds the handle and you hold the blade. I mean, you know, if you want the money badly enough, then you have to agree to his terms. So ultimately, the IMF usually gets most of their own way.
Why did we think they should reduce trade barriers? The reason is that Jamaica is a very small country. It's not a country which could sort of thrive by producing only for itself. We believe very firmly that countries are going to grow better if they're integrated into the world economy, and that means reducing tariffs. And it needed to allow its importers, its people, access to goods from the rest of the world, rather than have them rely on this little economy.
Market vendors also complained about the large number of foreign fruits and vegetables on the market, saying all of the foreign foods were hurting their business.
The foreign Irish, the foreign carrot, the foreign ginger, everything full of the market.
But the supermarkets seem to be doing well with overseas produce, as they're being sold for less than the local produce.
So you're saying that the foreign lettuce and carrots are less expensive than the local lettuce and carrot?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
When you open up the marketplace, those who are in a better position to take advantage of the market do so.
We import the spray, we import the fertilizer, we import the seed. So what we have to put in? Only sunlight and our impact. And if we use that right, we produce a better quality thing, but at a high cost.
The problem is that we are competing with an unfair situation. In the States, nobody hires money for over 10%. The lowest cost here now is 19%. And it can be as high as 40%.
In Washington, they just looked at us and said, no. Your inflation last year was 18%. And under the positive inflation rate theory of interest, that means we're not allowing you to lend your farmers our money, which we lend you. at 12%. You must charge 23%. I remember I took two trips, it was, to Washington to say, it is wrong economic policy, it is wrong socially, it is wrong to say that we must force the farmers to pay that rate of interest or you won't lend us the money.
Typically in an IMF program there'll be some assumption about the way interest rates are going to go.
And I remember saying, which are you? We're going to face an American farmer and tell him that to borrow something for his farm he must pay 23%. I said, they'll run you out of the White House and out of Congress. Oh, that's their business. We are dealing with your business.
We use machine to farm, but the world in general use machine. So when you check it out, can machine compete with machine?
The farming section is nearly completely wiped out.
Anything that led to the more self-reliance on our resources was strongly discouraged because of this emerging ideology which we now call globalization.
My name is Tom Lipitsky. I'm with the United States Potato Board, and we represent about 6,000 potato producers in the United States. One of the markets which we found to be of very much interest is right here in Jamaica.
Get you up here with Mr. Harrison.
There we go. Okay, everybody say potato.
We had offers from Washington from some guys, a group of guys. We asked them what they wanted to buy from us, and there wasn't anything that they could buy from us. They just wanted to sell us potato seeds. We're not short of potato seeds. That's not our problem.
I'll give you a joke. You talk about get goods in the United States. I signed a contract to produce honeydew melon and cherry tomato. And you know what happened? Everything I sent to the package, they turn it down, say it not reach the standard. They say don't package good. The size that we have is not meshing with their size. And the system went on so rotten with me that you know what I did? Discarded total.
NAFTA or whatever they call them, a free enterprise. They're not free, they flow like the Mississippi. It flows in one direction into the Gulf of Mexico. It never goes back up the hill. And whereas the Gulf of Mexico can absorb it, Jamaica cannot absorb the flow from Europe and from North America, all coming in on us. This is our country, our turf. Give us back our market. Don't try to force your idea on us.
But now you are finding that the thieves become more desperate. As a result, now we have, as farmers, have to be planning. And as I help you to see that, we use the nail and the needle system. These pegs, they have needles. So when the thief come now to grab the scale and to haul it up, the needle hit the hand. I have learned from the Bible at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 1, that the last day here would be critical and hard to deal with. So I am looking for it to be hard. And I am seeing it pelting me or pushing me right in our hand. But bear in mind, the scripture said hard to deal with. It's not to say can't deal with.
We do our rule under the government, but the government not seeing the things to help the people, or to do the things to help the people. What they are doing between the American government and the Jamaican government is to steal giant hands and hands to oppress the poorer class of people more than more.
But what really beat our government still is just the money where them want, you know, and doing busy with the term. That really go with the money.
The terms and conditions.
And the conditions go with the money. It's on to the money. You see, we are so poor that these rich people use their money to really just push their money before like it's a gift. But it's really a trap.
We have this dairy farm has been going from in the early 40s. My father farmed here before me. It was on a continual rise in production.
The industry flourished from 18 million liters a year to over 30. I think we peaked at around 34 million liters in 91.
In 1992, the government entered into an agreement with the Inter-American Development Bank for a loan of about 50 million US dollars, which was to support agriculture and manufacturing. The conditionalities of those were that we should abandon any form of local subsidies, and we should abandon any control of the imports of milk powder, meats, and what have you.
Almost always when the IMF is lending to a developing country, we'll be making loans, the World Bank will be making loans, and if it's in the Americas, the Inter-American Development Bank, which is a regional counterpart of the World Bank, will be making loans.
So, you know, you couldn't get World Bank unless IMF gave you the bill of health, and you couldn't get IMF unless the World Bank gave you a bill of health, and you couldn't get either unless the Inter-American Development Bank gave you a clean bill of health. Cross-conditionality. That is when they finally had you by two nooses by the neck.
And because we're working together in that country, we have to make sure we're not working across purposes. So we will generally agree on what needs to be done.
In conjunction with the loan agreement, and at the same time, the World Trade Organization signed off all the member countries into this new world order of trade. This new world order means that there will be no government regulation in the trading of any commodities.
They're telling you that, look, if we lend you $50 million, in return you have to lower all your trade barriers and you have to compete with us on a level playing field. Well, that is all double talk.
It was at this time that the competition from reconstituted milk started to get severe.
We ended up with having an influx of powder which destroyed the dairy industry. Powder became normal form of milk consumption, and the dairy industry was unable to sell their fresh milk.
Frank Quarry says he's been supplying fresh milk to Century Farm Products for 15 years. After last Sunday's collection, he says he was told that the company had too much milk and would not collect any more for an indefinite period. So on Friday, with nowhere to take 5 days' worth of milk, he had to get rid of it.
Dairy cows have to be milked twice a day, every day, 365 days a year. So yesterday and today's milk, if it's not collected, you have to pull the bung and let it out in the drain.
This farm produced about 3,000 imperial quarts of milk per day. We are now down to just about 600 liters per day. The animals that we lost represented a lot of hard work from a lot of pioneers, my dad included, and it obviously was a very, very difficult decision to make when we decided to convert them into hamburger meat. It's incredible. How are we able to get reconstituted milk in Jamaica for less than fresh milk when it has to be produced at a greater cost than fresh milk? It is because it is just one of a product mix in countries where they price some products to carry others, and it's really just their huge surpluses.
In certain areas, the Americans subsidize their exported milk powder 137%. Now nobody can compete with that.
The end of day result will mean that we have no national food security, and that when milk powder finds its real cost, where there are no subsidies in the first world, in Europe or North America, it will be more expensive than the milk that we currently produce. What do we do in the meanwhile? We go out of business.
it is unlikely when the milk powder gets beyond the reach of most Jamaicans that we'll be able to restart a dairy industry then.
So between the government of Jamaica and the IMF and the Inter-American Development Bank, we ended up with these policies. Ultimately, I suppose our government have been visionless and weak-kneed.
We're going to check you three. Here we go, Shirley. 1, 2, 3. Looking for the biggest splash this afternoon. Oh, my goodness. That is indeed a big splash. Come on, everybody. Let's give it up for the man.
Jamaica is beautiful. Jamaica is too beautiful. Sometimes the beauty of it seems unreal. Sometimes the beauty of it seems as if it were stage sets for a play, for no real seawater could strike that many shades of blue at once. No real day could be that perfectly sunny and bright.
Oh, what's a nice profession.
And what might it do to ordinary people to live in this way every day? You taste a delicious Jamaican-grown banana for the very first time. You wonder how it is that you've never tasted such a sweet banana before.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot.
I actually was born on a banana farm for over the years, and I've been doing banana for all these years. Until lately the WTO ruling has affected the industry.
I've been angling banana from in the early 60s, and recently I'm not really exporting now because of the situation the way they treat us.
We produce an export, and we would love to continue export to the fullest.
Jamaica produces at the moment in the region of 90,000 tons of bananas, all of which go into the UK, and that is our market.
Europeans who had colonies in the past thought it good, let us put it that way, that they should help these colonies to overcome some of their difficulties, to get them ready for new technology, to get them ready for the future. Under the Lome Agreement, this is an agreement between ACP countries, African, Caribbean and Pacific countries, with the European Union. And the ACP countries enjoyed certain privileges because of their colonial past, and these countries in Europe feel that they should be able to give back something to the colonies in order to help them to take their rightful place in this world. As far as the banana trade is concerned, we have in Europe a guaranteed market, tariff-free.
The Americans, and to be brutally frank, I think it's Mr. Linda and his millionaires at Chiquita, are pressuring the ex-colonial countries through the WTO to to get the WTO to agree that these preferential rates are unconstitutional and against the WTO regime.
The United States don't produce any bananas. The multinationals have set up their government to protest at the level of the WTO and affect the lives of a lot of people in the ACP countries.
On the worrisome banana issue and the recent World Trade Organization ruling, President Bill Clinton assured the Caribbean that his country did not act to the detriment of the Caribbean.
Pursuing and winning our case at the World Trade Organization, our target was a discriminatory European system, not the Caribbean nations. I made it clear that as we work toward a solution with our European partners, we will continue to support duty-free access for Caribbean bananas in the European market, and we will seek ways to promote diversification of the Caribbean economies.
We have no access to the American market. The access we have is to Europe and to England in particular, and that is what Chiquita and the U.S. are trying to kill at this stage.
Big companies, which are American-owned, Chiquita, Dole, they already control 95% of the world market in bananas. But these companies want the whole hog.
Chiquita, Dole, Del Monte, all of this banana is being grown in Latin America. Life in Latin America is at the will of the master who owns these plantations.
Salaries for the workers are pitiably low. In one instance, I made to understand, so it's $1 per day. And nobody can exist on that sort of thing. Surely you will be able to produce cheaper bananas at that rate, but at what cost, socially and morally?
Por los efectos del humo de las bombas lacrimógenas, también comenzaron a ser capturados.
Some Chiquita banana workers went on strike. They were literally forced to go back to work with a gun. 23 people working. There are no unions.
Our bananas cost us more to produce than the South American bananas. It actually cost us $11 to produce 40 pounds of our bananas, while it cost them $5 to produce that set 40 pounds. We are unable to match the price of South Americans.
Well, in the past, things was very bright with us. But in the present right now, things low because the production gone down very low.
2 years ago, we had about 150 workers. Today, it's about 15 workers on the farm. My farm in particular, we have been trying to find investors to increase our capital over the last 2-3 years. But especially since the adverse WTO ruling, nobody will touch bananas. The banks won't invest in it. Private investors won't invest in it because the future looks dim.
In the farmer here, banana was on top. Banana was good. We could call it green gold in those days because a farmer could export his banana. He could have a nice dwelling. He could have a car. But no, you're just living on survival now.
Okay. All we can do, we can plant the banana because we love to plant, right? But we can't sustain our children without banana anymore. And that is the reason, one of the main reasons we find the young man on the street now, looting and shooting, because the parents can't help them anymore. Guys, banana, just banana, we used to think of send our children to school.
We would like to have some better things going for us here than for us to be cut out completely out of the market here in Jamaica.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. I must say welcome to Jamaica.
Thank you.
My name is Gene. All right, I'm going to be your driver today.
Yeah, man.
Must say enough respect, you know?
Yeah.
First time in Jamaica?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Chicago.
California.
All right.
England.
Okay, I know you drive on the left also. Alright. Alright. First day on the job for me. Tomorrow I go for my driving test. The highest mountain we have is the Blue Mountain. 7,402 feet high. And that's where you get the best coffee. And it's the best in the world. That's the Blue Mountain coffee.
Sister Kalanje, blessed love, keeps burning on and on. They've been yearning. Rather than warm Babylon, give them a rise, pay them money, get them funny, and then brainwash them on them western journey. Babylon, give them a rise, for the money, get them funny, and then brainwash them on them western journey. Well, judgment, well, this way, that than red. We out this way, that be a blood that run red, go tell them revolution, that swing over them head, be all vampire.
You decide to venture from the sanctity of your tropical compound. You see natives, you marvel at the things they can do with their hair, the things they fashion out of cheap twine or ordinary cloth.
You having a good time?
Squatting on the side of the road. Hanging out with all the time in the world. You might look at them and think, they're so relaxed, so laid back. They are never in a hurry. Every native of every place is a potential tourist. And every tourist is a native of somewhere. Every native would like to find a way out. Every native would like a rest. Every native would like a tour. But some natives, most natives in the world, cannot go anywhere. They are too poor to escape the realities of their lives. And they are too poor to live properly in the place where they live, which is the very place that you, the tourist, want to go. So when the natives see you, the tourist, they envy you. They envy your own ability to leave your own banality and boredom. They envy your ability to turn their own banality and boredom into a source of pleasure for yourself.
Try reach when every new job up and strain. Appointed and anointed, get to use them ordained. Mr. Fill up the youth and only fist up what we find. Words without words can't sustain. And Mr. Fill tell you this, so when you're on a game, stop calling para.